You may recall reporting on the work and the ministry and that sort of thing, and one of those storms, tropical storms, came through, and we thought it was going to be a hurricane or something, and I almost said typhoon, sorry. And it was raining, so it's nice to be here when there's not a bunch of rain pouring down, and it was still just as hot and humid as it is today. I remember that very well. We're glad to be here with you this morning and share with you about the work that you are supporting, that you are a part of, and the ministry that you are partnering with us in. You may or may not realize that along with what the group comes down from Fort Walton Beach to do every summer with the youth camp, that there's other work going on in Ecuador that you are a part of. And so we wanted this morning to share with you part of what we are doing. If you have, you know, if somebody has a question, it's fine just to raise your hand, and I will try my best to pay attention and realize somebody has a question. So don't hesitate to ask a question. Now, see if I can figure this out. There we go. All right. This is basically our family. Of course, you know, it's growing, and so Alex there is now almost as tall as me, so that picture's a little old, but we do have 7.5 years of work experience in Ecuador, 6 years specifically at Camp Bellevue, where Ricardo and Diana and Don and Ross and all these other folks come down and work. And as well, we have some experience in Japan and Portugal and Mississippi, which you need a passport to go to Mississippi. Did y'all know that? That's a whole nother country right there. And you got to not learn to speak the language when you go there. All right. Sorry. What we do is basically three prongs to our ministry, okay? We run a nonprofit organization, to put it simply, okay, in Ecuador. We are not just a camp. We do a whole lot more, and we're going to share some of that with you this morning. And the work is specifically overseen by the Bellevue Church of Christ outside of Seattle, Washington. And they purchased the property 25 years ago and started building the camp. And Rick, how many years have you been coming down again? 19, and how many of those years have been at Camp Bellevue? 17, okay. So this church has, in one way or another, had a very long history with Camp Bellevue and the work there in Ecuador. As I mentioned, there are three basic prongs. Sorry, I have to relearn English. We serve and bless our community, so working in the community, okay? We work with a lot of the churches in Ecuador, strengthening and building them up, encouraging them, leadership training, different things like that. And then we also want to encourage effective partnerships with the churches in the states that either support the work or come down and participate in the work in some way, and sometimes with the missionaries or the Ecuadorians that they support there in Ecuador. So I want to talk about each of those three prongs a little bit, okay? Serving our community, and we do that in a number of different ways through an after-school program. We do medical campaigns, dental campaigns, and we really try our best to connect with the community as much as possible. And so we do a lot of social type work, but it all has a purpose, right? And so sometimes we're just the hands and the feet and the mouths of Christ to the people that we come in contact with. This is a picture of, is it possible maybe to dim these lights up here? This is a picture of our after school program. We work with 80 to 100 children September through June in an after-school program. They get help with their schoolwork, their homework, and they also get Bible teaching and Bible instruction every day. And so they're in their devotional time in this picture. And we have some Ecuadorian staff, and you can see some adults there that work for us at the camp and partner with us at the camp to do this. And so this is one of the biggest ways that we connect with our community. And these kids get a snack every day. Some of these kids don't get lunch. And so the snack, even though it's a piece of cake, sometimes that's what they're getting to hold them over. So some of them come from very poor situations. A lot of migrant workers there because of the flower plantations and that sort of thing. Along with the Bible teaching and the fun and the snacks and all that, Laura has been teaching an English class. So we taught a lot of English over the years. We worked in Japan for 4 years, and we know what we're doing, basically, when it comes to English teaching. At least she does. But they get English instruction, and so there she is teaching some of the kids. Each group of kids gets an English class, at least one English class a week. We do a lot of other fun things with them, just playing and having a good time. Carnival, which happens around Easter, is a really big event there. And so we put out the slip and slide out back behind our house there, and they had a great time, and it was really messy and soapy. We have a Christmas program. We'll have Ecuadorian folks sometimes, or groups or organizations, help us with a Christmas program for these children. And so this year, this was actually put on by a Church of Christ in Quito. They wanted to partner with us and some students from the Bible College in Quito. The year before, it was a group from a cell phone company that came in, and this local business that came in and helped us and sponsored this Christmas program that we do for these kids. And then we get to take them on a field trip once a year. This is kind of the end of the year thing, and we took them to the zoo. And the zoo is pretty cool because it's all Ecuadorian animals except for the ostrich and the African lion, which you see there. So I'm sorry there's not an Ecuadorian animal in the picture there. But this is one of the field trips. We took them on this a year ago, a little over a year ago, and then this year, just 30 minutes or so from Camp Bellevue. Have you ever been to the Kochaski Pyramids? And so you can't really see it. Does this have a pointer?
Yeah. It's
top middle, the little green thing. Ah, okay. So that right there has not been excavated, but that's a pre-Incan pyramid. So that's probably 1,000 years old. And there's a lot of history there. And there on the map, you can see the complex with the different pyramids around and that sort of thing. So it's pretty fascinating. Most of these kids, even though they live 20 or 30 minutes from there, had never been there. What's really fun is sometimes we'll take them to the movie theater, and a lot of these kids have never been on an escalator. And so you get these 5 and 6 year olds trying to figure out how to get on an escalator. It's kind of funny. We receive a lot of donations. You all have donated a lot of clothes and other items to the camp over the years. And so we actually give these to people in the community. Especially when there's a need or a disaster, then we want to make sure that we have some clothes on hand. But our clothing closet tends to also fill up pretty quickly, and so one thing we've started to do is sell them to the parents of the children in our program. And the other thing we've learned with this is it gives them a little bit more dignity. They're actually contributing something, and that money goes straight back into the program. And so they're contributing and have to give something to receive these clothes rather than just constantly getting freebies. And they tend to take care of them a little better, too. And so it provides a little bit for the kids program, helps us clear out the closet a little bit, but then that also allows them to maintain some dignity in this process. And so thank you for those of you that have given over the years to specifically to clothes. We have a lot of groups come down from the States. This is a group, these two young people are from Harding University, and they both are actually Spanish speakers, and so they're teaching a Bible lesson to the kids in our after-school program. And so we try and get people involved as much as we can. This was this summer, correct? We did a vacation Bible school, and that was our production team plus a few little white kids in there that got to do vacation Bible school drama and that sort of stuff. The group from Shawnee Trail in Texas, they did a theme. What was the roar theme? So I don't know if you've heard of that or not. Anyways, but one of the ladies in that group was big on decorating, and so they brought all their decorations from Texas after the vacation Bible school, and we got to use them down in Ecuador. So that was pretty cool. And we had a great It was a really great performance. They put on their skits for us the last night of the family mission trip, and when we got to watch the whole thing, it was wonderful. We had a young youth group come down from a church in California, and so we connect them with the kids program, and so they're doing a drama production here for the kids in our program. And we also took them up to one of the local schools in our area, an indigenous school, and they did sports clinics for that school. So we try and connect as much as we can with our community, and however we can. So in our kids program, this is kind of silly. I don't know if you can see this or not, but like that right there, and all the stuff floating around, it's not snow, it's foam. You see the big fire trucks out on the airports that have the big foam cannons? Okay, you can rent these cannons. I don't know if you can here in the States, but in Ecuador you can. And they have these cannons, and they come out, and it just sprays foam all over the place. And so these kids are running around, I'm not kidding, in like a mountain this high of foam, and just having a great time. This youth group from California that helped to sponsor this, they're like, oh, we need to get one of these in California. This is great. And they had so much fun with that. This is a group from Harding University that came down for spring break. And a lot of, we do construction projects too. And so in this picture, you see them cleaning off some old roofing tiles that are probably 40 or 50 years old. And you can kind of see some of the lichen and the moss that's growing on there, and they're just scraping them off and cleaning them. They're still decent, these things will last for hundreds of years, but they're cleaning them off so they'll last longer. And it saves a little bit of money because eventually we replace the roof of some of these old houses, these old mud brick houses that are 40, 50 years old. And the people that typically live in these houses are widows in their 70s, 80s, or 90s. Or may still be a married couple. Those are typically the people that live in these old houses, and the roofs are all collapsing. And so if we get an opportunity, we'll go in and we'll try and replace a roof on one of these houses. And you can kind of see, you can't really see, but underneath that beam right there is a mud wall about that thick. Okay, and this is a good material. It will last for a long time if it's well taken care of. And there is, it's not quite finished, but you can see the new part of the roof over there after it's been replaced, and they still have to lay these tiles down right there. And so we have done, four or five at least, just in the last couple years, with elderly people in our community. This is not the best picture, but a sister in the church in Quito was living in a house that, that's her there, the Afro-Ecuadorian lady. Her house did not have support beams, like this column right here, okay? The walls would come up to that column, and the walls were there, but the columns had not been finished. So there was a big gaping hole and no support, and the walls were just kind of, moving a little bit. There was no privacy. Everybody in the community could see what's going on inside of her little house. And there's a lot of wind, and it was very cold. And this happened right before Christmas, and a sister in the church. And it broke my heart that I have a sister in Christ that is living in this condition. And so I said, last week or so before Christmas, I took all my staff, the guys. So all these guys right here work for us at the camp, and this is a brother in the church there in this community. We just took them all in there and said, we got to do something with this house. And so we spent about a week or so finishing the roof, finishing these columns and that sort of thing. It's still really rough and really rustic, but it's a whole lot better than what it was. We've blessed a lot of churches with different projects, and painting is something easy that we can do. We have a dental team that comes down every year from the University of Tennessee, and some of these folks that come down in this group are not Christians. And what is super exciting to me is that we can put even non-Christians to work and spread the gospel. Amen? God is using these folks to spread his word. And that, to me, is super exciting. We partner with a lot of churches, a lot of the local churches, and the church is responsible for doing whatever evangelism or you know, following up with the contacts that are made. And we have people coming to the camp. We follow up with those contacts as well. But all they're doing is getting in there and poking around in people's mouths, you know, while we get to share the gospel. We also do a medical campaign every year. And we'll go to a lot of different off-site locations. This happens to be at the camp. We do have a nice medical clinic. Those of you that have been there have seen it. But we will also go to local churches. Sometimes we'll go to a school and different places like that. We went to the Bible College last year and helped students at the Bible College. Okay. So that was community stuff. All right, specifically community outreaches and that sort of stuff. We also work a lot with the churches, specifically with the churches, and we feel like this is why the camp was built, was to support and encourage and partner with the Churches of Christ in Ecuador. And so we have summer camps and youth camps. We do a lot of, you know, the community projects I was sharing. We use those to evangelize also. We'll do things like leadership development, working with church planters, and different things like that. Oh, there we go. And so we'll have, you know, I know Ricardo and Deanna come back and they give you a report, but the baptisms that they have, we have other baptisms that are going on year-round through the other efforts that are going on at the camp. And so this is a work and a ministry that you all are partnering with. This actually is Guillermo. Guillermo is an evangelist, works with us full-time at the camp. And I mean, I can't keep track how many times he's been in that water, you know. And wasn't there, there was a young man at camp that asked him to baptize him this year, correct? Yeah, because he was from one of the churches that we work with in New Guillermo. This sister actually that's being baptized is from Cuba. She lives there in Ecuador, and she's a doctor. A couple of months later, her mom wanted to be baptized, and her mom had really frail health, and so we didn't actually baptize her there at the camp. We went into their house, and they had a hot tub or something there, so baptized her in the hot tub right there at the house, and then she had to, because she was leaving for Cuba and had to go get some medical treatment done in Cuba. Okay, I'm sorry, I just jumped ahead. I got to remember where to point this thing. This is a small church group meeting out in a place called Shushufundi, or something like that. Something like that. And there are, we went out to visit a missionary friend who was living out in the Amazon. Her husband is Ecuadorian, and he's a doctor. And so he had to go out there and spend time serving out there in the jungle. So we went out to visit her, and they asked us to come and with this church that they're meeting with. There's an area out there rather large area, but there's not necessarily one church. And so sometimes they'll just jump around from one city to another depending on the week. And people will travel 20, 30, 40 miles to meet together on Sunday. And so we were blessed to be able to go and worship with them afterwards. And they went and cut down coconuts off the tree outside afterwards. And we're drinking the coconut water and such. Laura was asked to teach or do a ladies' class or a ladies' workshop at a church in Ibarra just about a few weeks ago. And so that was the first time that she was asked to do that at this particular location. And then I ended up preaching, this isn't that picture, but I ended up preaching, she did the ladies' workshop on Saturday, and then I preached on Sunday, and it was a long weekend, a good weekend, but a long weekend. One of the things that I do, if you are familiar with personality styles, personality differences, and things like that, I do a lot of workshops talking about that specifically, and I was asked to teach a class at the Bible College in Quito this last year, and it was... the theme of the class was talking about how personality differences can impact your team, and then also talking about team dynamics. So elders, church leaders, these kinds of studies can be very important with how learning how you work together. It's made a huge difference in my marriage, you know, how, because, I mean, she's messed up. I'm just kidding. I'm the one that has issues. But, no, we're just so different. You know, we are so different personality-wise. And those of you that have been married for a long time can understand some of this. I tell you what, once I learned this stuff, it made a huge impact on my marriage. And so I believe in this. I teach it to churches, church leaders, future church planters, church planting teams, and that sort of thing. And so I get excited about it. I also work with four full-time church planters or evangelists in kind of a mentoring, coaching type relationship. Guillermo up there, I already told you about Guillermo. He works for us full-time. His father-in-law is another one, and I don't have a picture of him, working with the Pisu Lee Church now, where you all visited a couple of years ago in Quito. That was a church plant that Laura and I helped do about 5 or 6 years ago. And then these two brothers down here, this is Christian Kaisa. The Niceville Church is actually supporting Christian Kaisa. And so they've asked me to kind of be kind of a liaison mentor to him and his work. And his wife is about to have a baby, and so they're excited about that. And then Sandro down here is working with the Uruguki Church, which is about an hour and a half north of the camp. And it's a new church that's been meeting for about a year and a half. They've got about 20 baptized believers there, and they average about 30 on Sunday mornings. I try and meet with them at least once a month, spend time in prayer, talk about the work, you know, how I can encourage them and partner with them in this ministry that God has given them to do. And then, I don't know, you all know some folks in that picture. we call it, I don't know what you all call it. Is this okay? It's sounding kind of weird. I don't know what you all call it. We call it Florida Camp because we have a group of folks that come down from Florida to put on this camp. There's over 200 people in that picture. It's our biggest group of the year. Laura spends pretty much all day in the kitchen from about 6 in the morning to sometimes 10 o'clock at night. This year, I think you got out of there by 9 o'clock every night. I know Ricardo and Deanna really, really appreciate her and the work that she does in the kitchen. And I spent all week at home with a sick child, is what I did that week, pretty much. So, okay. We also have other camps. This year, we actually had, and if you have this year in review, I know some of you maybe came in, I don't know if you all got this or not, and you can look through that, but on there, we had 6 camps this year. That's the first time Camp Bellevue has had 6 camps. One of them was Florida Camp. We also put on a basketball camp, and we used, you know, did you know you could use basketball to teach the gospel? How about that? You could use English when we had English camp. And I don't know, is there a picture in here of English camp? I don't think there's a picture in here of English camp. But there's basketball camp. We had English camp. We did choir camp. We love to sing a cappella. That's who we are, right? And the churches in Ecuador also sing a cappella, but they don't know how to sing and harmonize in 4-part like most of us do. And so we had a lady come down, a sister in the church, so teaches at a college in Texas, and she came down, and she's a voice teacher and a music teacher and choir director, and she came down and she helped us put on choir camp. And by the end of the week, you take 25 people that all singing in unison, and now all of a sudden you have a choir, and it was amazing. And we did a concert at the Kayabe Church on Friday night. You know, and we want to encourage, this is basically just to encourage the church and how they're worshiping, but also, you know, they can use this to reach out and evangelize to people as well. And another picture of basketball camp, I came up with some crazy idea, and I don't remember what it was, but have you ever done at camp a marshmallow war? Okay, so I'd never done this before, and so anyways, that's what they're doing, is they're pelting people with marshmallows, and they had to put on armor, and the theme was armor of God, and so they were putting on, their teammates had to make armor. And then we did, for basketball camp, we had a team of young ladies come down from York University in Nebraska. And a couple of these ladies, three of these ladies, the three on the right, actually play on the women's basketball team for York University. And then one of these ladies is also a coach for the team now. She's graduated. And so having people that could come down and really raise the level of basketball, and Christians that can come down and do this is fabulous. This is choir camp. That's Sylvia over there on the right. She's from Texas, and she brought some of her students down with her, so that we could all sing, you know. And they had different people that could teach them how to sing in harmony, and it was beautiful. We sang one or two songs in English, and the rest in Spanish. This is kids camp. The theme this year was superheroes, and so there's Guillermo on the right, looking like a grouchy Superman, and then his wife Cindy there on the left. We started this for 8 to 12 year olds a few years ago, and it's been a huge success. This year we had 60 kids, which I think is the most that we've ever had to kids camp. And then we did English camp, which I don't have a picture of. A group from Let's Start Talking, if you're familiar with that ministry, came down to help us put on, a youth group came down to help us put on English camp, where they had 30 or so people coming and just having Bible studies all day long in English. And it was super cool. And then we had another camp of about 130 or so. The Salvation Army came out and wanted to rent the camp and put on a camp. And so we were like, okay, to feed 130 people is a lot of work. But it was exciting to have them out there as well. We also like to partner with churches here in North America, and this is, you all are part of this. You know, by having short-term teams come down from the States, we use these groups to do all these projects. It's not like we're going all year round and doing camps and we're doing construction projects. No, what happens is we'll have a group want to come down, like the team here wants to come down. You guys want to come down and do youth camp, you know, and that's a ministry that you've been doing for years before we were ever around, and we'll have other groups that want to come down, and they'll say, we would like to come down. What would you like for us to do? And so we'll, you know, that's how we're able to do all these construction projects or outreach projects, the dental and medical teams. You know, I'm not a doctor. But if you're a doctor and you come down, I'm going to find a way to try and plug you in to serve and bless people, but also to try and connect them with the church or to share the gospel with them. I mean, that's what we do. A big thing, and I'll talk a little bit more about it, that we do is we call it the family mission trip, and that's one of our funnest weeks of the year. The summer before, we organized a prison ministry conference, and we had a couple brothers come down from the States that's what they do here is prison ministry. The churches in Ecuador don't do prison ministry, and so we just felt like this is a way that we can educate our brethren and how they can go into the prisons and evangelize. And so now Guillermo now is even going, not every week, but probably three weeks out of a month or so, he's going every Friday to partner with actually this guy in the back there, Roberto, who I think you all met this summer. And so Guillermo is going with him about once a week to a local prison to share the gospel with him. You all go, you know this guy, right? The big guy there in the middle with the pink shirt on. And I don't know who made those communion trays, but those are beautiful, and the church uses those every Sunday. This is in Tabacundo. This is a new church plant that we're working with. Again, Guillermo there on the left, and then Marcelo is there on the right. And really, this is the Ecuadorians are doing this. You know, Laura and I don't do this. We try to encourage and empower and support and pray, and sometimes we just have to get out of the way. And so that's what we're trying to do here, is to get out of the way to let them lead this church, and it's growing. They're averaging 40 or so every Sunday, and this church has been meeting for, it's a long story, but I would say in this group has been meeting since April, right? That sound right? The family mission trip. This is a group of people that comes down every year. If you're not able to go down with Ricardo and Diana and help out with camp, then there's always an invitation open for you to come down and help out this week. We'll have folks come down, bring their grandkids or just their children. We had what was the youngest we had? 4 years old. The youngest we've had come down is 4 years old, and the oldest is 87. So I don't know if there's too many folks here older than 87, but I would love to break the record. You know, he was an old farmer from Arkansas, and I had a big job to do on a tractor, and man, that was perfect fit for him. He sat around, rode that tractor all week, and enjoyed it. But we do, you know, during the family mission trip is when we do one of our vacation Bible schools, and it's when we do our medical clinic, and we'll do construction projects, and so that's, again, goes to show you that it's the groups that are coming down from the States that, because of that, we're able to do so much in our community and with the churches. This year we had a pretty big group. It was 55 or something. It was a pretty big group, and we had a church from Pennsylvania and two from Texas, and there was one other. I'm trying to think. It wasn't Tennessee, or was it three from Texas? Well, I don't know why I'm going blank on it. So, again, there's that mud brick house back in the background. You see that? And these newer bricks here, they just use to kind of support the new roof that goes on there. And so we're not actually replacing the walls. We just use newer material to reinforce what's already there. There's some other guys you see. There's family. He's a doctor and she's a nurse practitioner, and they would rather be out there scraping tiles than seeing patients in the clinic. But you know, so they get to do both. We had one doctor who was a Spanish speaker, and he got to teach in vacation Bible school all week. And he's like, that was more exciting to him than working in the medical clinic. You know, but yeah, we'll put them to work. I mean, those are three brothers right there, ages about 7 or 8 up to 13 or 14 at the time. And so, yeah, bring down your kids. We'll put them to work. This is another roofing project that we did with the family mission trip, where there you can see them lifting up those wood beams. We need some brawn also, along with some brains. Here's a couple of guys from a church in Texas that came to help us work on a pole barn this summer. They had guys working on that they didn't know. And so it's really fun to see these connections between brothers and sisters in Christ that didn't know each other. And now, you know, they love coming down because, you know, they get to see these people. That's the only time they get to see them. But then they're like best friends. We have a couple of folks from the church in Washington that come down specifically to hang out with the folks from Tennessee, you know. And they've built up great friendships over the years through this. This is a big project we're working on right now. The baseball field, if you've been down there, there was kind of a baseball field, and maybe you didn't know that, but there was a baseball field, and we are putting in a wall out there, and it's a super huge project. We've used three or four different groups to work on this. We're excited about it because I think you can use baseball to teach the gospel too. And so baseball is not a super huge sport in Ecuador, but it's growing in popularity. My kid's playing a baseball league in Quito, and so we're looking forward to possibly getting to, and you know what? You can do other things on a baseball field. You ever played kickball with slip and slides? So that just sounds fun. I don't know that I want to do it, but it sounds fun. These are the churches that either support our family or the ministry itself. The Bellevue Church is our sponsoring church outside of Seattle. The Hillsboro Church in Nashville. The Livonia Church outside of Detroit. Fort Walton Beach, you all know where that is. The Central Church in Winnipeg, Manitoba. The Shawnee Trail Church in Frisco, Texas, just outside of Dallas. The Somerset Church, which is in South Central Pennsylvania. The Manson Church, which is on the border of Manitoba and Saskatchewan. And we have several individuals that support us, too. I wanted to, first of all, ask if there was any questions. We're always looking for folks that want to come down and help out and participate, and we are very thankful and grateful for the financial support that the Fort Walton Beach Church provides for our family and has for a couple of years now, but also over the years, the Fort Walton Beach Church and the other churches, Niceville, and I don't know that there's others that have participated over the years. I know there has been, I just don't know who they are. I'll just brunch it all together, Fort Walton Beach, right now, and team. Aside from the Bellevue Church, has been the second largest financial donor to Camp Bellevue over the years. And with that money, there's been a cabin built. I mean, you all know more than I do because I'm learning stuff all the time. We've been there 6 years, and oh, yeah, we paid for that. Or, yeah, Florida paid for that. I'm like, you know. But there's been a cabin built. There's been a whole lot of other camp improvements that have been made. And so we're able to bless and serve and minister and evangelize to many more people because of the help that this church has provided over the years. So thank you for that. And we pray that this is a partnership that continues. And we also want you to know that the invitation is always open. I know Ricardo and Diana are always inviting you to come. You don't have to come just for youth camp. There are so many other opportunities. I heard there's a plumber in the group. I know who you are too. you know, we do a lot of kids programs. We do medical, dental. Honestly, we try and find what you are good at, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your passions, and we like to try and find a way to put that to work for the Lord if we can. And so thank you for your work, your time, your investment. It is for a greater purpose, and I think people are coming to the, I know people are coming to the Lord. The kingdom is growing because of your willingness to help with that, so thank you. There's a picture of Mount Kayambe. We have just a couple of minutes. Was there any questions? One of my favorite lines, and this is from Hugo in Kayambe. He always says this, questions, desires, or protests. So it sounds better in Spanish, but. Yes, sir. Yeah, you. I mean, just with 390. Okay. In the 19 years. Okay, and I would say close to twice that. Yeah, because there's a lot of years. There's some years where, and you know, and sometimes like I was mentioning this new sister in Christ, she wasn't baptized at the camp. She was baptized at her home. You know, so there's a lot of other places where those take place, but it's the ministry that takes this place through the camp. Yes. Yes, sir.
I wanted to say something that's fairly important about all of this, and that is these camps reach out to the indigenous population of Ecuador. We're raising young Christians who are now instrumental in planting churches in Ecuador.
Yes.
When we started this, there was one church.
Yeah.
That's
almost 15 churches in the Quito area. Yeah.
I mean, and this is a direct outgrowth of this
Well, I'll tell you. So a few years ago, I was teaching a Bible class, or a class at the Bible College in Quito. And I was talking to the students, and there was a young man in my Bible class, or not my Bible class, excuse me. It was the picture I had up there with the personality styles. That was the class I was teaching. But he had been baptized at Florida camp. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, we know people fall away. We hear this all the time. But we do know that there's a lot of times when people don't fall away. And so here's one young man that was baptized at camp and is going on and is now, he's graduated now. So he's out, I think he's on a church planting team. And so you don't know, right? I mean, if you'd have known me 20, 25 years ago, you would have been surprised that I lived. And so here I am. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Okay, so Catholicism, of course, is the biggie. That's their cultural base, their cultural norm. There is some animistic, the indigenous pre-Catholic type beliefs. You know, animism is similar to Native American beliefs, right? Spirit in this and spirit in that and that and that. And so they do practice Inti Raymi, which is the sun god. Is that right? Yeah. And so they will do a big religion or big ceremony for that every year, and a lot of that again is just kind of cultural. It's not really a religious belief. It's just kind of, you know, most people in a Catholic tradition go to church on Easter and Christmas and a wedding and a funeral. That's because that's their culture. Most Catholics don't go to Mass on Sunday, you know, and so for these folks, they practice these things because that's just their culture. There's very few other outside, like Muslim or Buddhism. There is a little bit. There is at least one or two mosques in Quito, but very, very few. What you find a lot, there are Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. And in fact, Ecuador is a very strong stronghold. Stronghold. One of the countries where Jehovah's Witnesses have had a very big impact. Yeah. Anything else? I wanted to share with, do I have a minute or are we done? Patrick's looking at me. He's like, I'm going to chop your head off. No, I mean, that means stop, right? Okay. All right, let me share with you one thing real fast. And you all know this. You can quote this, I'm sure, most of you. Acts chapter 2. I got a new Bible because we travel a lot, and so I wanted a smaller Bible, and now I'm wishing I had my bigger Bible. Because it's kind of small. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Most of us know this verse. Most of us can quote it from memory. You know what the next verse says? Very few of us have any idea what the next verse says. The promise, what's the promise? The gift of the Holy Spirit, okay? The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when we're baptized. And what, we just stop right there? No, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to share that with our children, right? With not just our children, but a whole lot of other people too. And so I want to thank you for partnering with Rick and Diana and with us, with the work in Ecuador. But what is God doing here in your lives, in your hearts here in Fort Walton Beach? I feel like that's one of the things that I'm passionate about is some folks get to come down and I get to tell you, all right, now go back and do the same thing, right? And I know Jeff is doing a great work here in ministry. Wouldn't it be great, Jeff, if all of us were out there and and using our gifts. And I know we're not all preachers and we're not all teachers. Sometimes we're just servants. If we could just get out there and share this gift with everybody. And so I want to encourage you all too, that we have a responsibility. If the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling in us, we have a responsibility to share that with other folks. God bless you all. Thank you for your investment and for your time and your energy and your work.